White Walker perpetuated offenses are considered especially heinous. In Westeros, four dedicated friends investigate and discuss these vicious episodes as members of an elite squad known as A Podcast Has No Name.
So we still don't have a podcast name.
No, we don't.
We are the most amazing four Game of Thrones fans that there are.
A Podcast Has No Name.
A Podcast Has No Name.
A Podcast Has No Name!
That's our podcast.
Yes!
That's pretty lit.
Yes!
That is beautiful.
A podcast
way to nail it.
That's
yeah.
Great. I think that's great. All right. All right. So beginning a podcast has no name. We start with John arriving at Dragonstone, and I'm not going to take the topic, but I do have notes. And I just want to say that
I'll take it.
I got chills when he walked into the throne room. Did anybody else get chills? I got chills.
Yeah, I didn't expect it to happen that soon, that he would just like be there. Like, okay, you here, pulling up. Word.
Yeah,
right.
That was quick to me.
But I mean,
let's not skip forward to the throne room yet. Let's just
Yes, got you.
That opening scene where he gets off the boat and is met with Tyrion and Missandei and
Missandei, who's trying to be nice, but Missandei is like, I'm here to greet you, but give me your shit. And
but you are halfway a prisoner because we don't know you.
Right.
And
so
we're
taking your weapons, and we're taking your boat,
and we're going to take
your boat. We're surrounding you by the darkies. Notice anytime they want to be ominous, you make a little half circle of darkies around them. And
that did happen.
Right. I appreciate the show's detail in Dragonstone the second time around, because remember, we didn't see any of this stuff with Dragonstone with Stannis. We always in the throne room. Having sex on war tables and things of that nature. So when I was impressed with the scene when they were walking up the long walk, of course, and Drogon flies right overhead, followed by like Rhaegal, I think that was.
And that was great too, because you haven't really seen. I can't remember too many times of seeing anyone else like totally shook by the dragon that's not being attacked.
Right.
By the dragon.
Yes.
And so that was
also,
like, yes, thank you. Give us some context here, because everyone else has been kind of like, oh, wow, those are dragons, and they're about to eat me.
Oh,
but,
look,
like,
dragons.
Mm-hmm.
And it echoes when Tyrion first saw the dragons when they was riding through Valyria, and he looked up in that long gaze like, oh, my goodness. So I think, not to jump ahead, but this helped Jon's campaign because – all right, you don't know me, and I have these dragons, and nobody believes in dragons. And I don't know you, and you're telling me about this army of the dead and Night King and stuff, and nobody believes you. So
right.
We have to meet somewhere in the middle of the shit. You know what I mean? Just by my mere existence and my children's existence, what you're saying, and you don't seem like just some maniac running up the countryside screaming about Night Kings and White Walkers with long hair and looking disheveled. So.
I thought it was really dope for him to see them too, because when he read the letter from Daenerys, well, from Tyrion, in front of all the lords of the North, and he mentioned the dragons, everybody was like, ah, oh, yeah, here we go with this dragon.
Right.
Like,
right. There was an air of doubt. So now him seeing them is like, you've seen the White Walkers, you've seen the dragons. It's real. Like, you can take this information back and be like, nah, fam, she got three huge dragons. Like, it's serious business.
Yeah. And he for real hit the floor. He's somebody who is a fighter, a warrior, like, all of that. And he was, like, on the ground for, like,
and Sir Davos. Davos
yeah,
was on the ground, too. Like,
yeah,
oh,
but
no.
They're not
yeah.
a diplomat. He's not a diplomat, but plus there's also no time for diplomacy. So when he gets in the throne room, and it's funny because he kept doing the same thing. Every time she asks him to kneel, she's trying to be so formal because she's so old-fashioned. That's what she was raised on. And he was like, you know, so kneel, take the knee. He always looking to the left or the right at nobody. He's like, oh, here we go with this Nielsen. Look, we don't have time for this damn shit. Like, and it's an interesting message to deliver when you don't have time to explain because of the urgency of the matter. So it's like, I'm telling you this fantastical story, but I don't really have time to explain it to you. Just let us mind your mountain. Huh? I just got here. I don't know you. You know what I mean? And so just the unfamiliarity, but we know that they're one family, and two, they have a lot more to do with each other in the coming episodes and stuff like that. But right. I thought it was a real powerful scene. I couldn't have scripted it. I couldn't have predicted this. You know, 5 seasons ago when we were talking about them eventually meeting, it was always in our, like, wildest dreams. And I applaud the show. I think they kind of nailed it. For them not for it not being so formal, for it being awkward like it should be, and for them having little conversations, him and Tyrion and Daenerys and Jon later on in the episode and stuff like that.
Yeah, we'll get to those comments.
I want to keep bringing up what you said before, Castro. Based on the amount of episodes per season now, they got to speed the pace up. And we've seen it every single episode. Like, again, none of us expected Jon to be there that quick. Like, dude took a bolt bus. He was there, man. It was like,
he took a bolt bus.
Right. And the same thing with, you know, with Bran later on. It's like, wait a minute. Whoa, why is everyone moving so fast? Because we don't have all these episodes to play with. Like, everybody's rolling speed.
The timing, though, which is also in the same scene, right, because she finds out that the Greyjoys were attacked. And so it's So that information met her at the amount of time it took for Jon to get there, which was interesting.
Another thing to note is, other than Arya, and that'll probably end soon, the road movie portion of this series is over. We don't have time to really accompany Podrick and Bran on the road and their merry adventures, Arya and the Hound, and you know, so on and so forth. Or, you know, we don't have time to extend. Let's just take Sansa and Theon running away from Winterfell. We can't make them hide in a cave and have a long time and then run out and maybe run. We don't have time for those type of beats anymore. So I think the travel is over. You know what I'm saying? No more glorious road trips, which the show was known for. Jaime and Brienne, you know, it was a lot of those paired up or just with going from Catelyn and Tyrion and Bronn in the beginning.
That was
a little road trippy when Catelyn was making her way through and running into, you know, going to try to find Rob and all that shit. So another thing I wanted to say before we move forward, I think it was corny they didn't show Castle Rock in the opening animations. And that should have tipped our hat to what was really going on in the episode. Because remember, the previews made that battle be a big battle. We saw the and Sully running in that overhead shot and them breaching the doors with all their I know we'll get to it, but they look wonderful. They look great. Like, that whole scene staged really well. But we thought that was going to be a big, gigantic battle. Of course, the rug was pulled out from under all of us when it comes to that. And I think we could have figured that out by them not doing a full-on animation of Castle Rock. Because I'm sitting in the beginning, like, waiting, and they do pipe. Yeah. For no reason.
I don't know that we would have figured out that that's what would have happened, because that was not.
Yeah, this is in hindsight. That, but yeah, I thought we would see it because it was a big build up to running up
at
for.
All.
And they didn't get
out.
That's later. I'm just talking about the animations. Yeah, sorry.
So the other thing that happened in that scene is that the Red Woman was, like, standing up on top of the mountain, like, looking down.
Yeah.
And Daenerys was like, the people was here. You was, like, talking them up and shit. And, like, that's funny. Yeah. You up here.
Yeah. Well, that also goes back to the glance. Okay, so let's talk about Davos's doesn't have the proper way to introduce Jon in parallel to how Daenerys was introduced by Missandei.
Well, nobody can introduce themselves the way that.
Right, but also Missandei with her proper speech and having all of the keynotes hit, and she said she's been saying it for
what, 3 years now. She's been working on that for a long ass time.
Right, that's what I'm saying. She got it down. She got it down.
Jon has not had to prove himself the way that Daenerys has.
And Davos's last mouthpiece was for Stannis. Well, you know, when he has the platitudes, it's when in front of the Iron Bank for Stannis. So he goes, oh, this is Jon Snow. King of the North. It's the ball. We roll dice. You know what I'm saying? Dress me up after work. You know, he's
the ball.
Cool guy, man. He has red
but
stripes.
But then
in
when
his
he did get the momentum going, he was like, he was saying too
John
much.
John had to
he
shoot
like,
him
whoa,
a look.
Whoa,
John
yeah.
shot him the look.
Don't tell him all that. Don't tell him
now,
I can't.
Now, I think the look
that.
Was just, yeah, I think the look was exactly what Tyrion said to John later. You're giving it, you're making it too big. So if he says, oh, they stabbed you, and he, I came back to life, get out of here. Don't crack me. Take them to the, you know, this is really becoming too much. Like, this guy, is he going to, is somebody going to come out with a horn? Like, it seemed like if he went that far,
but,
that's why.
But you know what's funny about that? Like, I agree that that's why John shut him down. But it's funny because John not knowing everything Danny is capable and experienced, he automatically automatically would assume that that's some shit that they would just think is okay. They just pulling some pies from the sky. When in reality,
right.
this girl walks through fire. She's done all types of
right.
magic shit.
So
right.
here,
like,
right.
oh yeah, he got killed and came back from the dead. She's like, oh, okay, all right, okay.
But John okay. still don't even understand that whole situation, so he don't want to talk about it. He's
yeah,
just
no,
like,
you know, yeah, he's still like, and you know, Davos, y'all know Davos is known to get frothy and worked up. If you remember the
yeah.
Iron Man speech with the stubbed
yeah,
fingers,
yeah.
He pointed his stubbed fingers, and this man did it to me. You know, he'll get rolling and shit. So I mean, you
yeah.
know, you had to stop that stuff, boy. man, Davos,
right.
man, that's
yeah,
key word. Okay. So next we have the walk through King's Landing with Euron.
I think we're missing
okay.
a very key part of the Varys and Melisandre talk when Melisandre was like, we're not common folk anymore, and we've both gone through certain things, and she was like, I have to die in this country, and you do too, like. So
yeah.
what does that mean? What is Varys?
Okay.
Varys is more than just...
I got something.
Okay.
I got something for that. So remember when Varys went over exactly what happened with him and the sorcerer? He castrated
mm-hmm.
him and threw his penis into the flame. And then Varys
and he
said
saw
him,
something
again,
in the flame.
And not just saw something. The flame spoke to him. Varys
That's
said
what
him.
It was.
The flame said something to him. And that could be... We don't know what that is, but that changed him from being just Lord of the Thieves to turning into this. And she knows of this thing that the flame spoke to him. So he's like a believer in the light, but in the scorn way. Like,
mm-hmm.
I've seen the Lord because I've been Job. So that might not make
mm-hmm.
me happy, you know, in the
mm-hmm.
long run. And so I think that conversation with them is there's a familiarity. Like, you looking at me with all this down, and I know you know that fire. You looked into
mm-hmm.
the fire, I can see, you know, and you saw, and the fire spoke to you. Then you didn't just see a vision. It told you something. So whether it told you to do something... Right, and whether it told you to do something, it told you about yourself, or told you what you will do, that shit shook him. And every
mm-hmm.
time a red woman comes up and kind of hints towards they know that shit about him, he freezes up. Remember, he got his tongue with the other one and shit like
yeah.
that. Yeah. Yeah, so he gets
just thought,
very indignant
I thought that
with
was
them.
Important. I thought that was important.
Yeah.
And
no,
I do
good.
Just I do just want to make, before we move on from the throne room, too, I do just want to make the point that John did not bend the knee. And
we knew that. I knew that going in.
We thought it going in, right? But his reasoning was so perfect. I have other people that I answer to, too. And just like you don't know me, I don't know you. So
exactly.
I'm not bending the knee just yet. You're going to have to chill.
Right.
And I thought that was brilliant. You can't. His people didn't want him there in the first place. So
and also
you can't get there, bend the knee to someone that they're already leery about, thinking she's going to be the Mad Queen or whatever it is that they're worried
right.
about. Like,
right.
I really thought
historical
for
precedent
as,
there. There's historical precedent
right.
there.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not just that, but what she brought up with Danny brought up knowing his great-grandfather or whatever. And
right.
He's like, I'm not a
in perpetuity.
You know, I'm not a
right.
I'm not a star. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I thought he was going to run down, like, a whole Genesis chapter, begat this, begat that. Well, if you want to know what happened since then. But he really just stoned it like, well, you know, I'm not even a star. So
mm-hmm.
just like you don't want me to be beholden to the sins of your father, you can't talk to me about the sins of mine. And,
right.
And especially now that you my auntie, and we don't even know all of that.
Right.
Okay.
And that's the thing. I mean, I just appreciated that that went so well with both of them standing their ground. You know, like.
And no sexual tension, y'all. I'm so happy.
None.
For sexual,
and I'm
people,
so happy
people
for
online,
that.
That's
I don't
all they
wanna...
want is they will. I don't want to see that. I want them to be cool. But it don't have to go there. We could have those relationships on TV, and it be what it is. You know, that's just me. But
absolutely agree. Okay,
I think it was a little naive. I'm sorry. Just one last thing. I think it was a little naive for her to think that he was just gonna come there and bend the knee. Like
I absolutely agree.
But she's old school, and you know what I'm saying. Like in the sense that
no, but she's not that old school. And the reason she's not
like
is she's out
when it
here
comes
being
to succession and stuff.
Well, but she's also out here being the breaker of chains and the freer of people
when
that wasn't a thing for them. So she's not just old school. What that was for me was that little hint of needing that power and to flex that power, which thankfully to Afro last week, I do understand it a little bit better and I'm not necessarily as upset or annoyed by it, but it is naive and it is a total power grab to be like, bend the knee when you don't need that to have a conversation. It, like that was, she was like, bend the knee before I even know why you're here.
Right.
Like
okay.
Chill out.
Right.
Yeah. And that's not being old school. That's wanting, that's, you supposed to call me your queen. I'm your queen. I'm the rightful queen.
Yeah,
why
but that's what, that's what I mean when I'm being old school, being traditional, like a lot of them are.
Well,
he's the only one not distracted because he's focused on the army, the dead. So his distraction doesn't reside in
the
Supreme Lord.
Yeah, I guess I'm saying that hers doesn't come from being old school. It comes from wanting the title that she has fought for. And that to me is different than just being, you know, going through the motions of what royalty does. Instead, it feels like to me, she's like, I'm finally here with my three dragons and I'm unfuckwittable. And in that moment, she hadn't been fucked with yet in her own, like, she didn't know. And so she's like, everybody better bow down. Oh, wait, what? Varys said what? My people is gone over there. You know, like before that though, it's like, yeah, I'm here. I'm the rightful heir and everybody's about to bow down. And to me that was unnecessary.
So like going off of what you know, Afro said last time, I didn't have an issue with it at all. Simply because again, this is what she's had to do for fucking every season. She has to keep clarifying to people who she is, what she's come to do. So to me, it was just like, this is just a natural progression. Yeah, like, they challenging you, and you keep having to say, listen, I'm not for the fuck shit. I am the queen. I got these dragons. I'm not in control of my dragons yet. Give me a couple more episodes. I got these dragons now. We burn it. She has to keep doing that. So, like, now, like you said, now that she's sitting in her rightful throne room, like, you back at Dragonstone, dude comes up. Yeah, we're not going to dispense. We're going to do things accordingly.
Okay.
I'm where I'm supposed to be. And she's 100% correct. Like, you are a lord. You can't be a king. Like, you can't be. You really can't be. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But
Okay.
I understood. I have an issue with it. I just felt like she hung on to it too long and was getting... Lost.
Yeah, I think it gets in the way. I think there's a pride issue there that is getting in the way.
Yes,
and
a very proud thing.
And that's
on both,
and that's
on both,
what's corny
on both their
to me.
Parts. On both their parts. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
I feel like when you set your mouth for Chinese food and the Chinese food store is closed, like, she knew he was going to kneel before her. Like, she just knew that, and she couldn't let go of that shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she did.
But also,
that's fair. And with that, that's
still
naive.
Is that still believing in the tooth fairy fairy tales that your brother told you? Like, she always is going back, you know, this is a total rollback, a burning of parchment of all of the stuff that Viserys pitched to me. But even still, I wanted to see, was it true? Will the people rally to me? Will they not want to be under the tyrant that's come from the usurper and all that other nonsense, you know? So That's sometimes right. I feel like she's moving that way. Like she's moving like, well, let me just see if Viserys is right or not.
Because
it's not like a whole bunch of houses has ran to Dragonstone to pledge fealty.
No,
right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? She has her crew.
I think it's interesting that with that idea of her running back to things he's told her, for all of the shit she talks and all of the he was crazy and a lunatic and
right.
was an awful person.
Yep.
It's like, but I also believed every single thing he ever said.
Right.
It's
yep.
just,
right.
Yeah, that was rough for
that's
me.
That's all I've ever known. I'm only retconned. I've only unlearned all this shit in these last 3 years. You know, so since I was a baby, he's been feeding me this stuff and talking this way to me and was about to sell me off to a cow. You know, how long he was prepping her for
he
that?
He did sell her off to a call.
Well, yeah. So,
yeah.
You know, but how long was he prepping her for that? But let's keep it swift and changing. Let's go to
Theon pulled out of the water. I think he has to.
Y'all, we got to talk about this guy and him.
No,
I'm going to make it quick.
There's
not a whole lot to say. The scene was really short. Again, giving credit to the speed of the show, did not expect to see Theon yet. Really didn't.
No.
Theon was the furthest thing from my mind. They pulled him up from the water, and he was shivering and cold, but he was still in reek mode. This nigga was still reek. And,
yeah, I saw him.
When he was like, you know, I tried.
Favor,
and my man was like, you if tried. You wouldn't be here. Like,
right.
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 He literally had the you right look too. Like you right.
Yes. He was like, you got me. You right, because I didn't try.
He was shivering, looking at him like you was there. Who was there?
Right. you saw this shit go down.
So who was that though? Who was that was pulling him out of the water?
Just another iron-born cat. Yeah, because he had the squid logo like somewhere on the ship or on his
on his
armor adornment or something like that. Yeah, the crack. Yeah, the crack.
Right.
So he was another great joy, you know, on their side. So,
mm-hmm.
But disgusted
with him because what the hell are you doing here without your sister?
Right.
Yeah.
Why aren't they chop you up? Yeah.
So we can move on to Euron riding through. Yeah.
Oh, God. All right. Who got that? I got that? Yeah, I got that. Okay. Yeah, because I got Euron and Cersei throwing it. Okay. Yeah. So Euron is practicing his off-board ratio from Flea Bottom to King's Landing because he's a character. You know what I'm saying? This motherfucker is a character. He has 35 consecutive shows, and then you won't see, you know, that it'll be gone. You have to catch it in Vegas when he's doing a residency. So he's walking through, you know. All right, so this is my thing about the walk, and let me ask y'all ladies this, Am. Am, you can chime in as well, but this is one of my notes. Do you think that was the female shaming, the whore calling, was that too much, or just a callback to Cersei's walk of shame? It was similar, like, you know, they were calling
I feel like
board.
That's how King's Landing is. Like, this is TV, this is the best shit that they get. Like, fucking rolling through like a peasant. Dorne. Oh, right, that's right. I fucking hate Dorne. Right. You know, like, they don't fucking know. Like, this is, like, entertainment. Like, I can sit
that's
on her.
Point.
Nobody's going to do anything to me. I'm going to do that.
That's a great point. So. I just noticed there was women again, and it wasn't so much the women, but when they started calling them whores over and over again. But I forget that, you know, they know that she killed Marcella. That's, you know,
mm-hmm.
word travels and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And they still have to be loyal to the where they live because Cersei could just starve them out like they almost did the first time. Remember, they were just not going to eat them anymore and shit.
Yep.
But what Jamie said backs up Afro's point. Like, they'll love you this week and hate you next week. It's strictly entertainment.
They'll go
cool with it.
And Jamie said that to Euron, right?
Euron,
in the throne room,
right?
Yeah, he said that to him, like, don't be so smug.
Can we have a moment for Euron talking about how that whole scene was making his dick hard?
He tugged his niece closer to him.
His niece
snatched her up. snatched her up, and he said, I have to admit, you know, I'm getting hard. You know, like, to your niece, man.
I mean, and that's the thing. Like, I get it. This time is totally different and all, and we've been watching certain, you know, incest and certain questionable things, but I still cannot wrap my mind around, like, pulling, like if my uncle pulled me closer,
right.
He's holding me captive.
Yeah, no, I
was like,
yo, more.
My dick getting hard right now, son.
It's still
like, what?
Me out. It's freaking me out. But wait, no, let's not forget. Don't have a short memory. This is also the same Yara that was getting fingered by her brother in his womanly robes when he first went back to Pike. Remember, he first popped up there and his father was making fun of him in his clothes? He was fingering his sister. Because he was all hyped up, you know, he was all full of himself, fucking the Gatsu girl on the boat. And so when he gets back, he's like, who are you? He didn't recognize her.
He didn't even recognize her. Yeah.
He's a disgusting man.
Yeah,
so never forget
that
about
Dion.
Yeah, never forget that about Dion. He's a disgusting individual. So, yeah.
Well,
all
Dion,
Dion
doesn't have a dick anymore, so.
Yeah.
You know. But, again,
you
we
know.
Don't know. Does he have, the
Euron. Euron is like the next level villain that we didn't know we were gonna love. Like,
yes.
He had no idea this dude was coming around the corner.
Right? Do you think it would have been better if he popped up here and there, or they talked, or they said his name a little bit more earlier seasons? Do you think it would have now?
Nah, I think there was already.
We needed him as the wild card coming at the end.
I think the wild card is on purpose for sure.
Yeah,
he is.
He reminds me, the effect I get when I see him come on screen was like Heath Ledger's Batman. It's like, what's this nigga going to do now? Like, what is happening? As soon as Euron comes on, it's like, oh, he about to act up. Oh.
Was anybody else hopeful that maybe one of the Sand Snake, like, he got stabbed. I thought maybe he would be poisoned because...
Oh, poison? Nah, I thought
there was a theory online about that. There was.
Yeah, but I thought that
oh,
would
really?
Be thin because we need Theon at least
whole
this whole season. He'll go out in the last episode of the last battle, before, you know, the penultimate episode. We need him a little longer. For that
yeah,
thing.
I was a little hopeful, though. I was like, oh, he's going to die.
The writers admitting that they fucked up. If the writers had done the Sand Snakes well, then yes, he would be poisoned and falling, you know, right there at the throne room. But they didn't do
I mean,
them
and
that
my
well.
Thing was, even if he didn't die and he was just, like, gravely wounded for a little bit, that would have worked for
okay.
me. Like,
okay. Like,
I just needed, I needed something so that it wasn't just, like, Euron came in, shit on everyone, and that was what it was. You know,
yeah.
like.
Okay.
I think they were trying to definitely show us, like, what his beast mode is. Because he took that to the neck.
He did.
Kept,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, I think they were just trying to show us, Euron, he's not like everybody else. He's here. He don't play no
yeah.
games. Like,
I agree with that. Yeah. I mean, you're on the front of the gangplank. You're not telling them, go get them.
Right.
You're on
right.
the front when it lands and crushes somebody. You're jumping with an axe. A battle at once.
Yes.
Yeah, he
okay.
Tonight.
So then let's just jump to the Jamie's I like to call this Jamie's shock and awe face. Old face. When he's like, you know, Leighton, we can talk man to man and you let me know. Does she like a finger in a bum? Oh shh. Like when Jamie was about to like pop.
He's like, not now. We'll talk later.
Jamie was not ready for that conversation. He was not ready for anyone to talk to him about having sex with Cersei. He wasn't ready for any piece of that. Like,
but Jamie's
not
always
only,
that difficult
only,
in those situations. Remember way
is.
Back when people talk shit. Somebody said something really cute to him another night. Was it Bronn? Was it like, what's the guy that Arya killed by stuffing the stuff in his mouth and burning his eyes out? Well, it reminds
me
of that. Also reminds me of,
I know you're talking about.
Right, and it was that at that wedding somebody said something to him smart. Oh, Lauren. Lauren said something to Jamie Smart when he threatened to hurt him. When he threatened to hurt him if he ever touched Cersei, and you know, he said something slick and rolled off. But Jamie also is honorable. You know what I'm saying? He served under the Mad King and then killed him to the very end. So he's going to hold decorum in those situations. It's important. Again, we always talk about Jaime and Cersei, the way they act in front of their people is way different than the way Jon and Sansa act in front of their people. And it's to their benefit, because who's winning? There it is.
Right.
Shit. So, all right, so yeah, but that was delightful. That was delightful.
Well, okay. Cersei in the dungeon.
Yeah.
With the, okay, with so the look, sand snakes
and the
mountain. I
didn't know that she had the lipstick on. I didn't really notice it at first.
I noticed that because she didn't have that lipstick on when she was upstairs.
And
I definitely noticed that lipstick.
I said it a couple of times. She wearing lipstick. I wonder why. And I just put it in the back of my head. I didn't think of that. You know, I didn't think of, I thought she was going to burn it. You remember what I said? I thought she was going to mirror
right.
what happened to the Starks and shit like that right in the throne room and shit. But when they went
I
to the dungeon,
like
I was like,
feel like Cersei or her, like, fucking slow torture shit right now. So I knew she
hell
wasn't
yeah.
going to just burn her or kill her right away.
Right.
But she has to watch her die and rot. Not, I mean, they won't last
that's
that
a
long.
Whole
course,
different,
King
that's,
Glennon
listen,
get,
that's,
right, but,
that's a whole woo. Different level of fuck you.
Woo.
That is
yeah.
not that is not regular revenge. She looked that woman in her face and said, "You will watch your daughter rot." That's
keep
not
the torches lit. Keep the
I'm
torches lit.
You.
I don't want her to miss nothing.
Fam,
yeah.
make sure they come
yeah.
every 2 hours because I don't want her to miss a thing.
I'm
yeah.
gonna
listen, that's
you.
A different kind of level
no.
of revenge.
Like, if you don't eat, we will force feed you.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah.
Really
like, I knew you
were
going to watch
me,
maggots
you
crawl through
me,
your daughter.
Like, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I didn't know you hated me all the way, hated me. Like, yeah,
like,
yeah I
hated me
up.
A little bit.
I know I killed your daughter, but. You know,
but I feel
no,
like
but Ilaria, she was spitting at everybody.
Know that she had partnered yeah. with Daenerys and Olenna, I feel like that added another layer to it as well.
Absolutely.
Oh, like,
yeah.
You know,
but her being the specific one that took Marcella in that way when Marcella was floating towards her mother. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? Like she almost
yeah.
had her, you know, she hadn't seen her in so long. She had went to Dorne. She already thought she kind of lost her daughter. Remember, she just sent for her when she was trying to rally her children to her, and she
mm-hmm.
thought
right.
they were getting near the end and shit like that. So,
yeah, she was.
Yeah,
that was.
And remember, Marcella was like, "Thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to stay here with the dude I love." Marcella's
yeah,
the reason she didn't come back. Marcella's
yeah.
the reason, not anybody
mm-hmm.
else. Marcella
yeah.
was like, "Pass. I'm over here living my best whole life. Y'all can do whatever you doing over there." Like, that was Marcella. She's not ever going to remember that. I get it, because that's not the point for her. But
well,
that's what happened.
But here's the angle. That whole scene, even though she's gone and God rest the dead and all that shit, but that was about Cersei, not about Marcella. Because what did she do right after that? She sucks Jaime the hell off. You know what I'm
exactly.
saying? Like, that
exactly.
whole thing was about Cersei.
And
she's
and
turning those
and
things
that's
into.
The thing for me with Cersei. Cersei doesn't has never cared about those children the way that
yeah,
she pretends
somebody else
to.
Said that. Yeah, somebody
yeah.
Else
she
right.
has never.
Said
she
that.
Has never been
yeah.
motherly or loving or anything to any of those kids until they die, and then all of a sudden
right, yeah.
she got to get all the biggest revenge. You have
right.
never been a mom. You was over here.
If
talking
you were
about,
a mom, they wouldn't be piece of shit.
Right.
Thank you.
No, and that's y'all are right. I saw a review that said Cersei never loved her children. She was mad. She was sad about Joffrey because she lost what she thought she could influence. She was
yes.
sad about Tommen because she
only
lost
reason.
Tommen
he was...
to Margaery. Right.
Yes.
You know what I'm
right.
saying? And Marcella, she lost to Tristan and the Dornish way of life. Not just Tristan, but being
not
in Dorne
Tristan.
And loving being
she
in Dorne.
She literally loved it.
Yep.
She was thriving.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
that's
mm-hmm.
why she didn't want to come back in the first place.
Right.
So, yeah. Cersei,
I just want to say before, like, Ash runs off into the night, this was an excellent episode, the best episode of the season thus far. We're really
so
ramping
far.
It up because the Olenna thing we're going to get to, hopefully, I'm still on the phone for that because.
Yeah,
that's
we just
got to
move fast. So, we talked about Jaime and Cersei. We talked about Jaime and Cersei fucking immediately after that, but. I think that the thing that mattered the most to me, because I know that all of that shit makes Cersei hot. That makes sense.
The
moment of her...
The post afterwards.
So that's where I'm going.
Yes.
That's where I'm going.
Well, let me ask you guys
of,
this. What do you think Jaime's hesitation was?
What was
he's
that?
Always Jamie, been, he's Jamie's always hesitation
he's,
is
that's
this
added.
Is a
he's
secret.
Yes.
This is a
forever.
Secret. We are brother and yeah. sister. We are not supposed to be fucking each other. This is a secret. It was a secret known to many, but it was going to be yeah. a secret until they died. They're,
right.
Even okay. when people
never
are like
it.
Your children, they're
right.
not like, oh, you right. Like, they don't, Jamie doesn't go, yeah, that's my son. You know
plausible
what I mean?
Deniability
like,
to the grave.
Absolutely.
You say, nope,
it's
one me.
Full,
it's one me. That's
even
how
though
that
Tywin, even though Tywin is dead and now they don't have to worry about certain, you know, things, that has always been their shit. And this moment for me, for Cersei, was fuck what anybody thinks.
Yeah.
I don't care. They can suck my dick. I'm the queen. And it doesn't matter. And I'm winning. But it doesn't matter who I fuck. Yes, I fuck my brother.
And,
yeah. And what are you going to say to me? And
so
to
thought,
me, it was that moment, like, it was the same for me in House of Cards when old girl lets everybody else see that the one dude is in the bed. You're out of line right now. Your power,
yeah.
your power, your pride, you're doing too much. This is the moment where you're putting other, you're being reckless, and it's putting the person that you actually are supposed to care about in that situation in a real fucked up spot. Because Jamie doesn't
yeah.
want to be open with being
right.
in love with his sister. He doesn't want to
so
be
thought,
open.
Go ahead, Ann.
So I thought ahead. Part of his hesitation might have been her telling Euron, you know, you'll get what you want. You know, because his reaction to her saying that was like, oh, for real? Like, you really about to, for real? Like,
yeah,
but then she flipped it and said after the war.
Of course, after the battle, you know, after the battle.
When she killed
the wars,
him. When she plans
right.
to kill
after,
him.
Yes,
plans
which,
to kill him.
In which she
yeah.
will kill him, or she will
yeah.
try and have Jamie kill him, or whatever the situation
yeah,
is.
That's what the answer was to me after the war is won, and I slit your throat, and then you can marry, I can marry
then
a
you,
blood puddle.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
you
but
can
here's
marry
another
me
thing.
After I kill you.
I wrote two notes. One was, Cersei is a master bitch now, like master, from the way she's torturing Illyria and what she's doing up in that throne room. And then I also, next up, and we can roll right into that, Iron Bank told you with exclamation point. I knew that.
You were right. You said they were coming
in.
Right back.
Here they come.
You said
yeah.
they were coming right back.
And it's, with his leg crossed and his knee bouncing. Yeah. So that,
okay, so really
ready.
Quickly, it's 7:59. Ath has to leave in 1 minute. Ath, do you want to say anything?
No, I got a few more minutes. I got a few more minutes.
All
okay.
right, you squeeze them
okay,
out.
Cool.
Let's go. Squeeze it out.
Okay, keep going. Okay, so Iron Bank, Kasra. Iron Bank
yeah.
shows up.
So, you know, he comes with his smug look. And also, that's somebody famous. That's a famous actor. I watched him review. And they
yeah, he's
that,
a
right?
shit.
So that was,
yeah.
Yeah, so that
he's
was like some good cameo. There it is. So he got the legs crossed. And he's like, look, we bet on winners. And here comes the implicit racism again. Oh, but you think that the Dragon Rider with her Dothraki horde wants your little money to help them win this war? They've never even been here before. Keep swirling that around, and that works, and it makes sense because, yeah, Dothraki don't want that gold and shit like that. Like, that's the truth. They don't want, you know, they wouldn't be like the Iron Bank. They wouldn't let you come in and sit down with them and you're, you know, breaking bread and shit. So she just plays on these inherent fears of this unknown, these people from Essos, the land far
right.
away, and they just happen to be brown, and you play on that too. They don't look like you and I. And then, but then when she said, give me a fortnight, 2 weeks, if everybody gets confused with that
yes.
time, fortnight means 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and I'll pay you back. And we're going to get to that part, but I think
No. My entire debt to you will be paid.
Yes.
That's,
yes.
That's a hell of a claim, Sam.
That's
my
wrong.
Entire debt to you, and what they're telling, what he told
the
her
move,
was, your vault,
the
your, vault,
was
your vaults are empty, B. Your vaults are empty. You ain't got no money, and you have nothing to borrow from because you ain't got no collateral. He was like,
right.
you have no equity in your home.
Go ahead.
So for me, that was the giveaway. When she said, we'll have your money in this amount of time, I was like, oh, she's going for Elena. That was for me.
Mm-hmm.
You,
it, I didn't
I was,
get that.
Mm-hmm.
I have no. I didn't think. I was trying to think. Well, what's she gonna do to generate this money? She's gonna ask other lords. That's what I thought. I didn't know. And that move. That's why it's such a slick move. Because in theory, I'm not gonna. I don't want to go too far. But their own minds are empty. But nobody in outside can know that. You don't have to.
But no one knows
that.
Right.
Nobody knows
that.
Yeah.
So, it, of course, it makes sense to actually abandon what is dry and go what is plentiful. Highgarden still has its green leaves. It still has all that plushy. They were taking the hay, and they were just loading up them corns and loading up that gold. I said, ooh, this is a move. But here's another thing I want to say. Again, this is why the White Walker nightmare doesn't come that far. There's no snow down that far yet. The snow hasn't come to King's Landing, Castle Rock, or Highgarden. So I thought about that. Right.
That
but it will happen when they walk, when they come, the winter comes with them. So even if it's not supposed to be winter and dawn, per se, it will be.
It will be winter and dawn.
Even if they just come across the neck, they just have to come across that halfway point. They come across the neck where the twins at, and all that winter's coming down with them. It comes all the way south.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was kind of impressive to think that's why people are still not believing shit. Because some places don't have
it's a good thing to remember. Because their weather is completely different.
You see, they're running out of food in Winterfell. So you see the difference. Like up there, they're cold, and they're actually trying to ration off, and they don't have enough because they have wildlings, they have other provisions. You know,
well, they have a year's worth of food right now.
But it would have been more if we're not for the wildlings and all of the new foreign, you know, all of these new situations.
Also, we're not there yet.
Right.
Okay. Thanks. So Iron Bank and Cersei, we've wrapped that up. Then that takes us to the Jon and Tyrion talk, which was everything.
Okay, so somebody else take that. I want to just listen because I was just in awe. I just loved it all.
The whole entire thing was everything for me. Jon being as naive as Dany, right? They're both being really naive about this situation. Like, I'm a trustworthy person, and people will believe me about everything that I need, and they'll know that what I need is for the greater good of everyone. And Tyrion was like, hey, how about she doesn't know you and you're talking about things that no one believes in yet. So you have to chill, number one. That's unreasonable. And maybe we start with baby steps. We can start with baby steps, but what you're asking for right now, for her to follow you, to get to the wall and have the dragons burn these people down or the army of the dead, not going to happen yet. Let's start small. And Tyrion is literally the best mediator we have seen in any of these kind of situations, because there's never a moment where he's worked up. There's never a moment where he's like, you're a fucking idiot. This is never going to work or whatever. He's just like, okay, I hear you. Maybe we can reword that a little bit, you know. But the words of wisdom there of she doesn't know you and what you're saying, you can't expect people to believe in. And that moment of Jon realizing, like saying that when he said it out loud and was like, if somebody came to me and told me about the White Walkers and the Night's King, I would be like, like, it hit him. Yeah, you would be like, nah, that's not a thing unless you saw it and you've seen it. So I get it. But without that, you wouldn't believe it either. And so, you know, it took that conversation with Tyrion for Jon to understand really how ridiculous he sounds to someone who's not at the wall. Like, he's in Winterfell and at the wall, you know, splitting his time, and he gets it. And those people get it. They've now bought in. They now understand. Mm-hmm. But it took him a minute for them to understand. It wasn't like they were just like, oh, yeah, White Walkers, for sure. Oh, a Night King coming to kill us all. Okay. Like, they weren't hopping up on that just immediately either. And I thought it was great to see him have that moment of introspection, like, oh, shit, you're right. That dude's so crazy.
I mean, think about it. The first episode started with dude getting beheaded because he came back to the North and everybody about White Walkers. They're like, you're a real lion.
That's also the Maesters dropping the damn ball by not collating this information and saying, look, we got 20 people in a year and 2 years that have said they've seen the White Walkers. Maybe it's time for more than just a little half expedition past the wall, because that's all they were doing was like sticking their toes in the cold lake. Oh, let's run. All right, that's it. Let's go. And then running into wildlings, getting distracted all the time. How many times do you think they went south, you know, what is it, north of the wall to just see shit and then get distracted by this wildling blood feud and then run back?
So, all the time, you know,
they're not even giving themselves their evidence,
I thought it was also great in that scene that Tyrion was like, yo, just tell me what you need. Like, tell me one thing that I can do.
And maybe I can, yeah.
Help me help you, yeah.
Which I thought was, that's that mediator. That's that mm-hmm. moment of, look, I'm not trying to shut you down. I am trying mm-hmm. to tell you that what you've asked for is lightweight ridiculous for, you know, the situation we're in. But Tyrion does believe Jon. And Tyrion does yeah. believe that those things are real. So he gets it from a different perspective, too, just because he believes Jon. He believes yeah. Jon has seen these things, you know, mm-hmm. like, but that's because they, too, have a relationship. So, again, you can't expect
right.
Danny to just hop on board. But anyway, yeah, I think it was great for him to not just shut it down completely and be like, bro, you're out of your mind. He was like, yeah, you're a little bit out of your mind, but let's figure out something that we can do. Maybe
yeah.
we can baby step this, and then we move forward.
And then
we
took
got Tyrion
right
sliding
to
over to Danny. To Danny, you're right.
Right.
Saying, like,
right
oh, come
Danny.
On. You don't
and,
really need this
itself.
Stuff. Do we need this stuff? You know, yeah.
Right. That was so
answer.
Dope. To be like, give
yeah.
him something by giving him nothing. Like,
yeah.
Like, we don't care about this shit. Give it to him.
And
you,
then
you
didn't
know it was here.
Huge.
You don't think you need
right.
it. It doesn't matter.
And that was a good ploy because that's logic. And him, and she also catching him. If you try to pass on your own sins, that's something some wise man said.
Yeah. He said, I would never do that
to you.
Like, I
to you.
I said the man.
I've been
the
doing this
with the tree. You know, but
yeah, I've been
right.
doing this, but not to you.
The impact that it's gonna have on the North when Jon returns with Dragonstone.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's
yeah.
gonna be crazy.
Yeah.
He is still the king of his people. He has
yeah.
he will return with what he said he went for.
Yeah.
See Sansa.
A whole bunch
see
of it cuz she got okay, so who's going to do this the weird Bran and Sansa thing?
Are we skipping past Daenerys giving and Jon having the chat?
Oh God, no! I
what
didn't
to ask?
That. The Daenerys and Jon talking, which
yeah.
was incredible too. This is the time they were talking on the little precipice thing. She was, you know, she started off with nobody believes in dragons. There they are, you know, right
mm-hmm.
in front of us and stuff like that. And I think that's. She was saying that to allude to him or parallel to him that, look, you're coming to me with a fantastical tale and nobody believes me and my three kids. So I have
right.
to at least meet you halfway. So,
right.
you know, I'll let you mind the stuff. And it still was that awkwardness that I thought was appropriate for them being strangers, but you being my auntie. So,
yeah.
like, you know what I mean? we're not going to bust it up and trade shots and shit like that, but there is an inherent feeling or magnetism that I should trust you or we
but
should trust each other.
That
there's a level of
him.
Mutual respect. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead.
She still hit him with the bye boy at the end because he's like, so it's me, you
yes.
believe me? And she was like, bye boy.
So anyway.
You know?
yeah.
She was like, don't you got work to do?
She was
you
like, don't you need to get some men to help you? Right. So anyway. Ain't nobody giving you all of that right now.
A little too far. So do you believe me? All right, see, you got the accent going. You didn't let your man tell me he killed you. You know,
I do think it's fantastic.
You saw she caught that. You saw she caught that, though, right? She caught that Davos almost said it.
Absolutely.
And Tyrion said, oh, the people in the North, they're so dramatic.
His dismissal of it was so perfect because there is no right time to tell someone that you've been killed and brought back to life, but right now definitely isn't the right time.
But I think Tyrion was being, genuine. You know, just like these North speeches, King of the North. You know, like
he was with the winter's ice.
Like yeah.
Yeah, he was basically like, you know, they got a lot of fantasy going out there. What else do they have? You know, it was
it's colorful language.
It's cold.
It's colorful language. Thank you, Ambush. It's colorful language. You know, they're just out here making shit up, doing what they want. Don't pay any mind to that. Like,
yeah,
that we needed that.
They got
we needed that so Danny wouldn't be stuck on it, because that's the kind of thing that I'd be stuck on. Like, now, wait, why didn't you finish that sentence? Why'd you look at Sir Davos like that? I want to know why. What happened? I think it took it off the table, at least for now. Like, it will definitely come back, I'm sure, at some point, but it took it off the table.
I mean, they moved
it
so fast, it might come back.
Exactly. It could be next episode. You're absolutely right. Okay, so take us to Winterfell.
Are we skipping Sam and Jorah?
Nope, we're not there yet.
No, that's next. Okay, no, cool. That's after Bran. So we're at Winterfell, yeah.
So we went to Winterfell watching Sansa doing the walkthrough, right?
Yeah, so Sansa
before
doing the
Bran
walkthrough. She's like, push that to the left. That needs leather on top.
Where the food at? Order more grain. Order more grain.
What time did you make these deviled eggs? Yeah. Toss them all out. Make a new batch.
Sansa was really on her event planner.
She was like, somebody hand me my day planner.
Yeah, she had a wedding planner real quick so that she could be
This won't do it. This won't do it. These drapes and that tablecloth, it will not do. Who's responsible?
Yeah.
Like Downton Abbey or something. She was really on it.
And Littlefinger is eating it up.
Yes. Eating it up, following her around. Like, oh, Lord Baelish, would you just give it a rest?
but he gave her that. He was being real. That speech he gave her to her.
Hold on.
Anyway,
we're not there yet.
Okay, sorry. Continue.
So, I mean, you can go ahead. I don't know. What was you going to say happened before that, Morgan?
I was going to say the fact that she immediately hopped in and was like, okay, this, that. Like, that speaks a lot to who Sansa has become, because that was not ever going to be Sansa before. So Sansa has become this person that can take certain things under pressure. Which before we were all like, this bitch about to fold. She go, oh look, she done her direwolf killed, and now she's a mess and this and that. Like, she could not handle any pressure before, and now you're running the town. Like, you are fully responsible for all of this.
She was busier than they usually be, though. Like, John will be able to answer questions.
Oh, I agree too. I agree too. And I don't know if that's because a woman all of a sudden got in charge, or if it was, or if it was like, okay, now we're in crunch time. But either way, it went way busier. They out there. They got manufacturing popping. Yes, that's why we're
y'all are saying that from like scenes at the wall where they always seem like they're just kind of sitting around. They don't do shit except like beat up Sam and the grand.
No, the people at the wall at
but
the very least, the people at the wall be fighting each other at the very least, and a maester over there reading and they doing stuff.
Right.
Like when you go to Winterfell, it's like someone opens the gate and that's it. Everybody's chilling.
Yeah.
You don't even know how many people are there. They're just all of a sudden there's hella people there. Like, oh, okay, we're all here. Like,
she was
a major,
like a festival organizer, yo. It was crazy.
like a true CEO. Like, okay, this needs to happen. This needs to happen. This check it off the list and make sure we get more grain now, because if we do it later, they won't have it.
She
went through it.
On it.
And the thing that I was going to say about Littlefinger real quick before the speech. Littlefinger loves seeing women of power. We all know that. I mean, he wants to put a woman under his wing, but he loves to see those women in power, and he loves to see them running something, and that somehow makes him excited. And he was looking at her like the fat kid loves cake. Like,
he was looking at her like that was the real Euron move, like, and my dick's hard, you know? Like,
Exactly. Ab, he was looking at her like, oh, is that, let me put it in you right now. Which is super fucking gross. He is a disgusting man. But when we get to that speech, you go for it, Castro, and then I'll just add my little opinion.
With the speech with Bran?
No, Littlefinger and Sansa.
So he's saying, like, literally, be ready at all angles so nothing will surprise you. So, you know, met out every outcome you can. So whether you think your brother is trustworthy, and think of when he's not trustworthy, or think that he's going to be influenced by this, or think he's going to be drawn by that. So you're always ready. And you notice, I mean, they kind of gave it away. The score got deep at that point. Because it felt like, all right, little fingers stopped playing those sneaking around and slithering on the walls. And now he's really looking dead at her and like, all right, this is like you and me a season ago. I'm putting you into some real game right here. Now, to what end? I don't know. I still don't see how – I still don't see it going when he drives a wedge in between them. Maybe something happens or somebody gets killed or something like that. Or just wanted to ban him or whatever, or they lose a little skirmish. But I think he's planting the seeds. I just don't see the seeds for the wedge. I think there's maybe even a bigger plan of his in mind. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because did he really plan when he killed Lord Aaron for it to spill out this way, or he's just sitting there laughing maniacally, like in Grayskull, like Skeletor or something like that? Because this is just, like, got to be beyond his wildest dreams. But he's always ready to roll with
the punch. I think it's a combination of the two.
And he's always ready to roll with the punch. That's what he's even saying to him.
I definitely think part of the plan is to create that wedge between her and John, and then whatever else, whatever greater plan he has moving. Because he acted like he was giving her game, but all he was really doing was introducing her to the chaos that he creates, that he causes.
To doubt,
life.
The reason
he has to keep looking over his shoulders is because you out here doing fuck shit to everybody.
Because
you
know, everyone's your friend and everyone's your enemy.
Everyone's your enemy.
Yes.
You did that. That's how you chose.
Yeah, he's fully Donald Trump his life.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's trying to convince her this is just how it is. But it really isn't. But if she buys into it, then we got an issue.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, that's me. But I was just going to say, I think it's a little bit different than him just telling her how it is and how, you know, like, that's how he works. That's who he is. That's not how it is.
Right. He's grooming her to be right now.
Yeah. We learned about this with him early. We just didn't know it. His first confidant, who you saw him with, we thought that was his bottom bitch, was Roz. And he laid her out, you know, for everything. Just, I'll let Joffrey kill her and all that shit. Like, we didn't even pick up that he's like this with everybody. I thought that was his right hand, the way, you know, season one, it's all, you know, the lace and the brothel. You don't know that's going to get burnt out. You didn't know about the Faith Militant and all that shit. So you just thought, all right, this is his right hand. You know, just like Varys had the whispers and the little kids, I thought Rob was his right hand. But he just laid her out just like that. So it's the same thing even with Cersei, even with him loving her or wanting him to be by his side. He'll lay you out for sacrifice no matter what. So don't even try it. And I'm really kind of warning you about myself. And you don't even know it. I'm looking you dead in the eye and telling you, don't even trust me. What did he tell Ned? He gave him the same advice.
Yeah.
And he had to turn on Ned because Ned wasn't with the program.
Yep.
Right.
So, you know what I mean?
So, Bran.
That was nice.
Bran.
Oh, my God.
Bran.
Okay, so can I just ask a question real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody else think it was going to be Arya? Because I was like, how did Arya get there so fast?
Yeah.
So I was hoping, but they doing it fast. I was hoping it was Arya, but then when she kind of was making her way through, I was like, oh, it's Bran. Like, I could just tell it was Bran.
Oh, I totally didn't. Not until I saw Bran's face. The entire time I was like, oh, my God, this is the moment. She's going to see Arya. This is it. How'd she get there?
I think it's
going to
be
so
even
great.
Grander. The Arya moment's going to be even grander. Like, Arya,
well, shit, it better be, because that shit was extra anticlimactic.
Yeah.
She's like, well, who sent you here? The three-eyed raven. I thought you were the three-eyed raven. Well, I'm
the three-eyed raven. It's complicated.
On Wednesdays, it's complicated.
So,
like,
Bran channeled, like, his inner Jaden Smith with that dead face, like, the whole time.
Yeah.
Like,
don't he kind of look like Jaden Smith?
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does. With that skin. Yeah, the skin. Yes. And so, look, though. He is detached.
It's all of it.
Look, he's detached. He just didn't plant himself in a tree like the original.
So he does have to
have this affect. I get it. It's just real dry, and he's also a totally different human than the one that fell out the tower.
Exactly.
But
the way that Am explained it to me was so perfect for me to get it, because I was like, I hate that he was so emotionless. Like that was not only anticlimactic, but it just kind of sucked, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, he is watching the past, present, and future at the same time.
He's Dr. Manhattan.
He already knew that he...
y'all saw Watchmen, right? Everybody saw Watchmen? The movie and the, read the book, maybe? Okay, well, there's a character in his F, his Doctor
Manhattan.
He sees the past, the present, and the future at the same time, and he's totally emotionless because he just doesn't know how to do it anymore because seeing these things play out in all three realms at the same time. Well, not the only reason, but, that's part of it. Well, go ahead, more.
I mean, that's only one extra element. Aren't we all in the past and the present, too? He got the future.
We're not living the past of 50 years ago, though, and we're not seeing our parents do things, and we're not seeing
multiple
how...
Past. We didn't see him actually green see Sansa's wedding, but he knows about everything. He knows everything now.
The snow
is
falling like it is now.
Oh, and also,
be
but he's out
and emotionally overwhelmed if you know what's happening, if you know what's gonna happen.
Right.
You know I mean, like,
there's no more shock and awe. It's just duty and responsibility to the time. There's things you know you have to do, and you just got
to
do.
It's gonna actually take extra effort from him to start emitting emotions in the present. He's going to have to actually
As y'all said at the beginning of this set, how Sansa was upright and leading and pointing, you notice, of course, that she broke down when he brought back that memory up of the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, of course, to her, she's just thinking of the wedding night and not that she did look, we said this, she looked absolutely stunning. Like, that
stunning.
Was, like, one of the best.
She was absolutely breathtaking.
But it was also the precursor to one of the worst moments we've seen from her on the show. Getting raped in front of Theon and shit. But so the fact that he sees that all over the spectrum, like, so for him, oh, yes, you got raped, me and my sister, and I'm sorry, but I know what's coming, and I know what happened before, and you know what I'm saying? And I know, I just, there's no secret. So you, when you're talking to him, you're talking to him really bare, just like he is. And he needs more time, and all he wants to do is green tea, because he said he still has more to do. But when the Night King comes, he has to be prepared. So he has a plan, man. To do some psychic battle, astral plane type shit. He got some plan for when the Night King comes, but he just needs the time to get it together. Kind of like Neo, I need some time. And he went and fell, and then he flew upstairs, you know.
My favorite part about where Bran is now, he's the only person in all of Westeros that knows Jon's a Targaryen. Like, that shit is awesome. Like, he just moved.
Now, does he get killed before he tells him? Ned did. I'll tell you about your mother when I come back, and never did.
So we got Sam and Jorah.
That was just pretty tidy.
Sam
tidied up.
Cured grayscale.
You know what he did? No, look. What did the Archmage ask him? How did you do it? I read the book and followed the instructions. That shows you these Masons is frauds, dog. They frauds. They don't do shit.
No, that shows you. I do like your fraud scenario, but that shows you that the Maesters are scared. The Maesters are not willing. The Maesters are not willing. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I understood from the beginning the idea of how quickly that could spread to the world, right? If it went wrong, and it just so happened to go right. Which I think speaks more to Sam than we have given him credit for. Ambush. but
perfect.
But that to me shows me that the Maesters are like, whoa, we must be really, really careful. We can deal with the flu, but that grayscale. No.
Yeah.
What it showed to me, the Maester is nothing but a class. Is a class in denotation, so not a medical or a science. It's not, but it's a class. You're a maester. You're probably working at a keep, if not working at the citadel or some type of royal area. You're the maester for this area. You know what I'm saying? It's not that they don't have like little maester clinics or emergency rooms in different places. That's why people die the way they do out there. And, again, I still hold them responsible for no technological advancement in thousands of years. You can't even make no more Valyrian steel. Come on.
Yeah, that's fair.
Why
that's not, it's not an applied science. You're absolutely right.
Thank you. The term, applied science. It's not.
They didn't even, they don't try. Nobody's made no Valyrian steel.
Nah.
Oh, it just is what it is. Nah. So just hold on to your sword and pass it to your son. It's six of them. Give me a break. Anyway, sorry. yeah.
Well, no.
All right, guys. I got to go. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you for making it so long, Af. I appreciate it.
Man.
Yeah, I love you guys.
Love you.
All right.
Holla.
We're so close, too, guys. We only have three things left.
Yeah, we got three left. So we got the war room with Danny, Tyrion, Missandei, and Varys.
Okay,
oh, okay.
Well, so,
I forget which one that is. Somebody else got to take that. I'm drawing a blank.
Okay. Uno momento. Because I wrote notes, and at the very moment, you know, I'm awful and can't remember. But so,
was that when they were when he's going over the battle. So I call it
Tyrion's
Ninja Turtle Attack.
Okay.
Tyrion's
Ninja Turtle
Attack. That's what I called it.
Right.
When he,
well, so he basically explains, I like that. I really like that, Kasha. The Tyrion explaining how hard it would be, what his, you know, Tywin built this from the ground up, or whoever did. I think it was Tywin.
Right.
Built it from the ground up to be impenetrable. And then he was like, but he didn't want to deal with the sewer, so I had to do that. Because I'm little, and that whole passageway and all of that was so dope to me that not only did he have it, he gave up the intel. They got in there, Unsullied just clearing the clocks, and then
fuck.
No one's there. No one is there.
Where
and
is,
this is what I was
everybody?
Saying. It's a strategic move. They need gold. They don't even have gold there. So to actually hold this place as some historical memento is folly. And only their father, if he was still alive, would still do so. Jamie's smarter than that. Yeah.
Hold up real quick. I want to ask you, because Morgan posed this question. Do you think there is a spy in Daenerys' camp? Because this is
there has
their
to be.
Attack being cut off at both flanks.
When you talk like, the only thing that leads to the spy thought is the Euron fleet just coming out when Grey Worm stands up on the precipice.
Not just that.
This
could
be attributed
that,
to a spy, too.
Yes, Euron's fleet being there is what I would attribute to a spy, because how the hell did you know they'd be there already? Also,
when Jamie explained that later
on
to Olenna. Yeah.
No, Jamie was like, Robb Stark did that to me. That's a fucking guess. That's not a definite. Like, so... The Euron fleet being there, and then Jaime taking the entire army from King's Landing and Casterly Rock over to Highgarden.
But that's the key, because that's exactly what Robb did, and that's what Olenna said. You're learning from your lost battles, and he said, yes, you know how to.
Right.
Know, that's the key. So they were going to move anyway. They were going
to move
anyway.
They had to know
that
more.
That was all in the plan. But that
okay.
was,
you know what?
I
look
like
looking
was
at.
The plan.
But you know what? Looking at the financial situation of the
they
Lannisters,
had to make that move.
That starts to be more convincing. Because
okay.
that was
they,
it. So we're going to go after Olenna and get that gold.
Here Cersei is promising to pay back the bank. The only way to do that is go after, you know, go to Highgarden. So that does kind of make sense. But it just seemed a little too coincidental. You know what I'm saying?
Now,
really
the Euron part, when he comes swinging in and they didn't see them, that does seem a little bit like, yo, they're going
to
be,
that,
you know.
There is absolutely something fishy to me. That
But who
you
the hell
just
would it
don't,
be?
You don't, I don't know, but you just don't get it 100% right on the defense slash
but, okay. But what I will say is they are in, like, a line on the continent right now. Don't forget geography. So you got Highgarden all the way to the left, and Euron's fleet was over there, and they sailed around to get to where Casterly Rock is. Excuse me, the other way around. They sailed around to get where Casterly Rock is and blew up their fleet, the Unsullied fleet. And all the way to the right is Casterly Rock. So they're kind of lined up. It's across the continent, and I thought that's the other boss move. That Jamie's making Unsullied have to march back across the continent to rejoin the fight. Now, the
yeah, you know what?
Next, yeah,
it's got to be it's got to be they got little birds running. They got a spy.
There has to be.
It has to be, because again, abandoning the castle to go to Highgarden. Yes, Euron being there to obliterate the rest of their boats. That's no coincidence.
Let's not forget this is not the first time that she got her boats burned. That's the thing with her.
Especially if the idea is we're leaving here to go get some money over here, then you have no reason to have your boys come around the back. You have no reason for whatsoever because there's nothing of value there left. They suspect.
But I wrote in my notes, that's a boss move, Robin Olenna, to pay back the Iron Bank. So I think I'm leaning more towards this was the plan because they had to even this shit up. And let's talk this real quick. Season 6, episode 10, when we watched them coming across the waters with the dragons and the full-on armadas, two or three armadas, because all of their combined might, we did not see the playing field being evened up by episode 4, past the halfway point.
Season.
We thought they was just a sweep. Oh, they're going to wipe it out. And now, yes, there's been strategy, there's been this, that, but it's a chess move. I'm watching. This is like the game of Risk, y'all. They're moving big armies. They're moving over here. They're attacking here. They're flanking this and all of that. This is finally our actual war. It's not as glamorous as we want just yet, but I think we got a couple of battles. We got some serious shit coming.
The way they're being outmaneuvered, it does make sense because Daenerys isn't from that. You know what I'm saying? Her military advisor is Tyrion. And what did Tyrion do the whole time? When his family was fighting, he was drinking and hoeing up. So
that's why Jorah coming back might be real helpful.
Good point.
I mean, he's the most helpful person to Daenerys, who has no military background and
military leaders, other than Grey Worm, Barristan Selmy, and Jorah, they're not there. Dario Naharis, they're not there.
Right.
And
no strategy.
We thought it was part of story, but you got to look. That's a weakness right there. If they were there, they would have been doing something totally different. You know what I'm saying? That's just true. Even with Tyrion advising, they would have maybe came up with something a little better and backed themselves up.
Yeah.
Considering where they're from.
Just makes sense. Just because you got
to
drag,
I mean, that
you're gonna win.
Right. And I feel like their plan, though, was like actually really solid.
Thought it was too, he's going against Cersei, nothing to lose. And it's working, her nothing to lose. And Euron, the wild card in the ninth.
Yeah, Cersei does have something to lose, though, and that something is her life and Jaime. Like,
and everybody
Cersei
wants
has
her life.
Things.
But that's
going
to be weird because the two of them are going to kill one another. Either she's going to kill him or he's going to kill her. We both
I think
know
he's
going to
kill her,
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
I mean,
period.
I'm hopeful for that. I don't know that I have anything other than hope at that point. I want Jaime to kill Cersei.
Yeah,
I would like that too.
Yeah.
I would be really satisfied, but I don't know. I mean, might make it a season 8. I doubt it. All right.
So we got Olenna left now.
Olenna.
But again, I love the move when Jaime was doing the walkthrough. I liked it. Weiss and Benioff decided not to show this actual fight. Just show them piling bodies and us tracking Jamie's walking through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I realized the gold scheme because I saw them loading up the gold along with the hay and harvest. I was like, oh, shit. Oh, this is, of course they would do this and not guard cast.
Superpower
move. I thought I was like, yo, boss move. Like, I was like, stunned, like, wow, this is some G
shit.
This
is it. Yeah.
This is some G shit right here.
And it really was, but when we get to Olenna and we reach her and she's the G that she is, sitting in her office, like, oh hey, you made it, huh? Like, hi.
Wearing
okay.
black. Put on
knowing.
Black.
Knowing. She, you know, and she was like, okay. I mean, we're here now. Will there be pain with this poison? No? Fantastic. Let me suck that down real quick. I don't want to die the way your son did. That was the G-est shit that could have ever happened. All of Alaria's sitting and, you know, being a snake and being pissed off and whatever. That's all fine and dandy and everybody wants to be that petty. Nobody is as big of a G as Olenna.
Straight up.
None of them. Because she fully got away with that to them.
She fully got away with killing Joffrey. They weren't like, oh, it was Olenna. Nobody
knew. You couldn't pin shit on her. You couldn't pin shit on her.
And you know what? They could have got away with us not knowing up until this point, but it just wasn't written that way by George R. R. Martin. But they could have held on for that. And we could have just found that shit out the other night. So,
right.
I feel like there are people who just found out. I feel like there are.
I think there are definitely people.
Almost, yeah, of course. Yeah, we're more privy because we're the audience. But I'm just saying, like, they could have written that in where we didn't find out until last night.
Right.
Would have been just the illest. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that was just the illest. The way she was talking to him. You can say anything to me. I'm gonna take your secrets to the grave with me. And this is what I wanted to point out about Olenna, and I'll even let you finish more. When he got this information, Jamie, you saw he was stuck, but also his opinion on Tyrion flipped right there. Because
it
up until that point, he didn't think his brother did it, but it just got roped in when you killed our father, too. But the three of them, is what I was saying to my friend.
He didn't think he did it, but he was also not going to go to super bat for him on it because he didn't know for sure. And so it was like, oh, wait a minute. He definitely didn't do it.
And he will tell Cersei, but the three of them knew why Tyrion killed their father. That's what I'm saying. Like, that wasn't a surprise to neither one, two, or three.
No, and that's why Jaime didn't care like Cersei cared. You know, like.
Well, Cersei cared because in her eyes, you killed both my parents. Which she has that's a one claim to fame that's actually true, and she can carry that and keep fueling her
issue
with
that.
Well,
but plus the fact that she also was never close to Tyrion because she treated him like Tywin did. So she's never given a fuck about Tyrion anyway. And the moment that she was like, oh, you killed my son, I'm going to kill you.
Right.
Yeah, the moment that she thought that was real, there was never going to be a backing her off of that until you had actual proof. You know, it couldn't have been. Jamie tried and was like, I don't know. I don't think it was him. And she was like, fuck you and fuck him because he did it. You know, like, there was going to be no backing her off of that until he can say, Olenna killed Joffrey.
Right. But, all right, is this also a glimpse into our morbid future? Like, to see one of our great characters go. Even when Tywin went, that was a moment. But, like, we're getting to the end, y'all. So we're going to see this, like, consecutively and multiples in the episodes, people dying. Like, season 8 is going to be thin. Because season 8 is going to be them fighting the White Walkers.
Season 8 is definitely going to
be
like the full wrap-up.
Yeah.
And so, like, we're going to lose a lot of people this season in particular. And so when I saw it go, I always saw it. I was thinking, like, damn, this is another one bites the dust. And, you know, it could be Sam next, and, you know, moving on, not just the older people like it would normally happen, but like all of the people we've been carrying since season 1, you know, the ones that are still around. Because that's another thing. This is a testament and endurance. If you have a character that's made it this far, you're like, whoa, because, you know, a lot of people have died so far. We haven't even taken tally, but a lot of people have lost their lives. And so to see Lady Olenna, who was like the true Queen of Thorns and really had her shit together, to go out.
Yeah,
boss move from Cersei and Jaime. I thought that was excellent. And again, you know, also the directors are giving these actors a chance not to fall out and foam at the mouth and die. They just go into black and stuff like that. Same thing with Stannis.
Yeah,
they wanted to give them respect.
This is the hardest way she could. She went out like a G, man. She went out like a G. I love it.
Yeah. So did y'all see the preview for next episode?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So pretty much, Danny's tired of being cute, and they're gonna.
Yeah.
So this is the thing. So that they said it in the preview, so it's obviously important. So the bank says, as soon as we get our gold, we'll back you. So they're gonna try to intercept Jaime and them in the gold. Now maybe they don't know that that's gonna help them, but that's what's gonna happen, and it's gonna be on the field of fire, and the dragon and the Dothraki are gonna rush them on an open field. And where do Dothraki fight best, Sam?
Yep.
Open field.
And this is going to be her first real win. The dragon's going to scorch everybody. She's going to be riding, and the Dothraki are going to be ill. Now, you want to see some choreography? I saw a little clip of them jumping on top of their horses. They fight on the horse. They don't get off the horse.
Right.
They don't jump down off the horse and fight you. They fight. They do everything on the horse. Come on, man.
Dudes, they're amazing. amazing.
So
So you lucked up. Ahead, you lucked up, Castro. You lucked up.
Wow.
Last episode didn't record. So all of the clowning and all of that. This is the first recorded episode. The last episode didn't record. You got lucky.
I didn't get lucky. That was the karma gods letting y'all all know. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's not what it was.
Definitely was.
Yeah, I'm not going for that. I'm not going for that.
Episode devolved into something that our listeners had no interest in.
Oh, no. They would have had interest.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Everyone would have interest in that.
I politely disagree.
Well, so, be polite all you want, but you're wrong.
So, we here at A Podcast Has No Name. We wrapped up the third episode called The Queen's Justice. Do we have to do that whole thing about breaking down the title? I think it worked all, but, like, is there multiples to it, not just Cersei's Justice? Was there any other Queen's Justice that y'all noticed, theme-wise?
No. Okay. I didn't even think
about it. More just about, this is Cersei's come up. You know, she's giving head. She's telling them, come change the seats, sheets. So, you know, this, and they win. And they have a big victory at the end, so.
Right.
I guess this is the Queen's Justice. I don't like her winning. I don't know if anybody notices. So
you know what? I'm going to be honest. There was a, and I don't know where it came from, there was a little bit of, like, a tinge of joy in watching Cersei take revenge. And I think it was me wondering how she was going to pull it off.
She's going to do it,
yeah. Going to do. And then also me not really, like, I care about the Dornish women, but at the same time, it's like, y'all are treacherous as fuck anyway. So, I mean, lesser of two evils in this situation.
Okay, yeah, and, you know, you get what you can, you get what you pay for.
They're interesting characters.
Like,
I love them. I do love them. But
I don't know what you were doing. I don't know how.
Bad versus evil here, so, you know, who can get it? You know. So, yeah.
They were the worst characters on the show. Moving along.
You're a hater.
Whatever. I don't know what the next episode's name is. I just saw the previews, and there was a lot of good stuff in the previews, so I think it's going to be a really good episode. Did you see any Did anybody see the White Walkers in the previews? Are we seeing any White Walkers for the next couple episodes, or what?
I haven't seen. I think we'll see some before the end of the season. I definitely think we will.
I know we'll see some, because we still have to get with the Tormund at Castle by the Watch by the Castle, Watch by the Sea, Watch by the Sea. So, but do you think we'll see them in some episodes before the last two? Is what I'm saying. Considering two more before the last.
I hope so.
Okay.
I hope so.
But no, I thought this was the best episode of the season. It just keeps getting better and better, and
it does.
I think they're getting really. It's gorgeous and it's poetic send offs. Like, I thought this Olenna thing was perfect, the way she let it out, how she killed Joffrey, what she was wearing, that whole scene with Jaime. They didn't even spend a lot of screen time together. So to end with that, that was fitting. I thought that was wonderful.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to actually try to get this up tomorrow, pending everyone's approval. You know, I'm not going to do too much editing. Just use the pictures that we submitted and just post this joint up.
Well, can you do a little intro or something funny? Like, can you go grab Brienne saying blood magic like 5 times? And then, you know.
All right. I'll work on it.
All right. Appreciate that.
All right.
Good night, everybody. If Pyros and Crips all got along, they probably got me down by the end of the song. Seem like the whole city go against me. Every time I'm in the street, I hear blood magic, blood magic, blood magic,